Lord, to be here tonight. Thank y'all for letting us come, amen. And I certainly enjoyed the good singing. I don't know where you're going to hear any better singing what we heard tonight. Tremendous. Amen. Thank the good choir for singing tonight. Amen. And the specials, thank y'all for that. I love singing, don't y'all? I love singing. Amen. Well, I feel tonight y'all could have sang all night. Amen. But it's a joy to be here, I'm telling you. Amen. My wife, we got in a little bit late. We got tied up over there on the other side of the mountain, I guess. I'm from the low country, so I don't know much about mountains. But we got tied up there before you get into Newport. I think they're working on a bridge over there, and we sat in traffic a pretty good while and got to the motel kind of late. My wife's had a hurt foot now for about a month and a half, so I just told her to rest tonight while I go out and make a living. Amen. And she'll be in church the rest of the week. Amen. And she, don't y'all tell her I said that. Amen. We won't have revival this week because we'd be fighting at the motel. Amen. But no, I told her just to rest tonight. I know she probably could have rushed and got here, but I told her to. I preached yesterday at my church. I never preached from this thought. I preached over there where Saul was setting David up, and for the Philistines to kill him, said, "I'll give you my daughter." And he was setting him up to get him killed. And David was such a humble fellow at that time. David said, "Who am I that I would be the son of Mary, the king's daughter?" And I preached on this simple thought yesterday. I never preached on this, amen. I preached on who am I that God would put me in the family of God. He was going to be put in the king's family, amen. And I preached on who am I. And then I just give some points. I don't even know why I'm telling y'all that tonight, amen. But I got excited about it, amen. I tell you one thing I am. I'm a child of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Who am I? I'm a child of God. Who am I? I'm an heir and a joint heir with Christ. Amen. Who am I? I'm a servant to the King. Amen. Who am I? And I just went down that road. Amen. Thank God I'm in the family of the King. Amen. Praise God. He said, Saul's son, Jonathan, Saul was the king, right? I know the typology breaks down with Saul being the king, but you just dealt with that a little bit. Amen. Hey, his son, Jonathan, made a covenant with David. I'm in a covenant relationship with the son of the king. Amen. Somebody help me right there now. Hallelujah. That covenant will never be broken. Hallelujah. I didn't make the covenant. God did. Amen. Somebody help me right there. Amen. Praise God. Who am I? I got excited about that yesterday. Amen. Glory. All right. I want you to turn your Bible tonight. I'm preaching on this. I'm reading on two accounts of the same subject. All right. I want you to turn to 2 Kings, and we'll read there a little bit, and then we'll go over to 2 Chronicles. 2 Kings 18 and 2 Chronicles 29. 2 Kings 18, both of these deal with the same thing. It probably sound like we're reading the same story over and over. But I feel like I need to read both, amen. Mainly 2 Kings 18 is an introduction to what I want to say out of 2 Chronicles 29. Thank y'all for letting us come. I'm so honored that you passed in the church. Thank y'all for letting us come. I feel very, very honored when I come to this church, amen. And I don't know, but the great pastor, you got anything that I can do to try to add to, I just come to agree with what he's saying. Amen. I won't be preaching anything you haven't heard, no doubt, many times. But I think basically that's what revival is. I'm afraid to preach. I've preached a few revivals down through the years. I'm afraid sometime in revival, when we go to preach revival, I guess on the preacher's part, he's wondering if he can preach something that, you know, got a different twist or something maybe you haven't really heard a lot, amen. But you know, I believe revival is just back to the basics. We already know so much, amen. We just need to respond to what we know. And we don't really need to hear anything new, just be reminded. That's what Peter said. I just want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance what you already know. And so I'm not going to be saying anything you haven't heard, that's for sure, amen. I may say it with a different accent, amen. One fellow told me about it last year, I believe, what he said. You know what, Brother Willis? He said, you wouldn't have no meetings if you didn't talk different. I said, how many meetings you got? He said, none. I said, maybe you need to talk different. Amen. Somebody help me. Amen. All right, 2 Kings. I don't ask you to do this because I'm reading a little bit of scripture, but if you're physically able to stand, let's stand and we'll read the Bible together. I don't always do that, but I feel like we need to do that tonight. Amen. Always good to see Brother Donnie. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Donnie's going to testify. Amen. He about tore that pew over us. I thought that pew was going to crack over there a while ago. I thank God for somebody still excited. Man, we got something to be excited about. Praise God. I have not gotten over what God did for me. Been 45 years ago. I have not gotten over that. Now, I don't mean I need revival. But I hadn't gotten over what God's done for me. Who am I that God would save me and put me in the family of God and then give me a little bit of opportunity to go tell everybody about that? Praise God. I hadn't got over that. Amen. 2 Kings. By the way, for what y'all doing for the home, amen, thank y'all for what y'all, they're putting on the roof right now. They're putting the roof on right now, and I'm thrilled about that. We had a man, and we got delayed in that because we had a group coming from a church to do it, and at the last minute they called us and said they couldn't come. So we had to get another group to do that, and so they're putting that roof on right now, amen. It was up there Saturday. I think it must have been 105. I'm going to tell you what, their feet were sticking to the tar paper on that roof, but they was getting with it, amen. So praise the Lord for that, amen. We've had some men come to home and gotten saved. Some of them got the victory, and we praise the Lord for that, amen. All because of what y'all doing and other churches are doing to help us, amen. I'm excited about it. We had a man come to our church, got saved, lost his arm, don't have but one arm. He got run over when he was a 16-year-old boy. And he stood up and testified in church yesterday. Says he got saved since he come to the home. This is what he said, Brother Donnie. He said, for the first time in 30 years, I'm drug free. He said, I have not been off drugs for 30 years. And of course, when he got hurt, they put him on medication, and that medication led into addiction. And he said, for 30 years, and the doctors, Brother Jeff took him to the doctor, and he told the doctor, I want to be off any kind of prescription drug. I don't even want no prescription drug. And he said, preacher, for the first time in 30 years, I am drug free. Hallelujah. I mean, humble fella, amen. And what a blessing. Man, I tell you, that excites me. If we didn't have the home of that one fella, it'd be worth it. Somebody say amen. All right, let's read the scripture. Amen. Y'all got me all excited. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 18, 2 Kings. Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, the king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abiah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. And he removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For under those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushta. And he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so after him was none like him from among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. And he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments which the Lord commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered whithersoever he went forth, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and served him not. Now let's turn to 2 Chronicles, and we'll read that and pray, and we'll be seated. 2 Chronicles 29. The Bible said Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 and 20 years old. He reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. He, in the first year of his reign, the first month, opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. And he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them together in the east street. He said unto them, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify now yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers, carry forth the filthiness out of the holy place. For our fathers have transgressed and done that which is evil in the eyes of the Lord our God, and have forsaken him, and have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord, and turned their backs. And they shut up the doors of the porch and put out the lamps, have not burnt incense, nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem. He hath delivered unto trouble, to astonishment, and unto hissing, as you see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, our sons and our daughters, and our wives in captivity for this. Now it's in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, be not now negligent. And this is my verse. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister unto him and burn incense. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to be here tonight. Lord, I cannot know how to express that we can be tired in body and walk into the house of God and hear the songs of Zion. And God, physically, Lord, it does something for us. I thank you for that tonight, God. Now, Lord, please help me. I'm, as the pastor said, I'm not here to take up time, but Lord, I'm trying to hear to say something I pray would bring revival in our hearts, revival in our churches, revival in our families. God, please do something for us this week. Lord, we've all heard it over and over, but God, give us a fresh breath of God, we pray. And we're going to thank you in advance now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. In our text tonight, in verse number 11, the Bible said, it's in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. Let's not be negligent. And so that is what Hezekiah the king is saying. He said, I've got this in my heart. I want to make a covenant with God to get our nation back to God, or the house of God corrected to get back to God. And so as we look at that tonight and think about that, certainly preaching on the subject of revival, this was a revival under Hezekiah, the great king that he was. The account of the kings of Judah and Israel are given in both books, Book of Kings and the Book of Chronicles. From my understanding and reading and studying, the king's account of the Chronicles of the nation of Israel, the king's account primarily deal with the political aspect. And then the Chronicles account deal primarily with the spiritual aspect. So in these two readings tonight, we're dealing both with the political aspect and also the spiritual aspect. Now, what got my attention of this back at the first of the year, in verse 3, he said it's in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of God. Over in verse number 17, they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify the house of God. Now, when I read that, read it the first of the year, it probably wouldn't mean as much tonight as it did when I read it the first of the year in my daily devotion, and I preached on that first Sunday. He said on the first day of the first of the year, of the first day of the first month. This is what I got out of that. On the very first day of a brand new year, here's what Hezekiah said. I'm going to make a covenant with God to get our nation back with God. Now that wouldn't mean much to you tonight as it did to me back when I read it. But still, nevertheless, the story is still there. In other words, he said, I'm going into a brand new year, and I'm going to make a covenant with God to get right with God, to get the house of God right with God, to get the nation back to God. Now I say all that to say this. What Hezekiah was concerned about was the spiritual condition of the house of God. You've heard this said. I've said it. You've said it. So goes the family. So goes the church. So goes the church. So goes the nation. The reason our nation is in the fixes in the night is because our churches are in such a bad fix. And we've got to start where it all starts. That is at the house of God. Amen. This nation will never get right until the churches get right. I heard Dr. Milford Biddle say this, and I heard him say it twice. He said, I never read in the Bible where the nation of Israel ever got back to God until the king got right. He said they never had a revival till a new king took over that led them back to revival. Now, that's the political aspect. I know tonight in America, hey, we're not going to have revival because we got a new president. But I do thank God we ain't got Hillary. I said this in my church. I know Mr. Trump has got his major problems, but I tell you, compared to Hillary, he looks like a fundamentalist. Somebody help me. Amen, amen. And I'm not here to promote him tonight. I am here to say tonight, you can bleed this. I bleed this. I believe God will give us a reprieve. And I told my church, hey, our church prayed. We met for weeks and prayed every night. And that's not saying we're spiritual, but we met for weeks and prayed every night. We got all the senators, all the congressmen, and all those running for our political, and we prayed every night for weeks for this election. I'd like to think God heard some prayer. Amen and amen. That's not saying we done any. We had people in our church fasting and praying about this election. And I believe God gave us a reprieve. I said, now that that's happened, we better take advantage of it. Amen and amen. Who would know, hey, if the other side of the political spectrum had got into office, wonder where we would be tonight. So God has given us an open door, I think, amen, to still do something for the cause of Christ. Now, I know that's not revival. But I'm going to tell you what, God put a new king on the throne after a bad king in this story. Is anybody listening? Hey, spiritual matters come first. Hey, it's not the political aspect, it's the spiritual aspect. But the spiritual aspect can affect the political aspect. Somebody help me. Hey, a new king is replacing an old king. The Bible said Ahaz is passing off the scene and Hezekiah is taking the throne. In other words, here's what I got. Politically and spiritually, Judah was bankrupt. But God put a new king on the throne. So here's what I'm saying. Thank God Ahaz is gone. And now Hezekiah is on the throne. Could I put that in the modern day? Thank God Mr. Obama is gone. I waved at him when he flew off in that helicopter. I said, so long, hope I never see you again. Somebody help me. Preacher, that sounds political. This is too a political book and a political aspect and a spiritual aspect. I said all that to say this. When Mr. Ahaz left the throne, abortion was over. Look at chapter 28, verse 3. The Bible said, moreover, he burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire. Hey, the previous administration believed in abortion. He said he burnt his own children in the fire. I say that to say this. Hey, it's a marvel Hezekiah is still living. He burned his own children and sacrificed them to false God. Notice this in chapter 28, verse 4. Verse 24, Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God, cut in pieces the vessels of the house of God, shut up the doors of the house of the Lord, and made him altars in every corner. Hey, the previous administration under Ahaz, hey, they believed they could close down the house of God. Amen. Hey, chapter 28, verse 4. The Bible said he sacrificed also, burned incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. The previous administration believed in false worship and a false God. Thank God that administration has passed off the scene. Anybody listening? I'm glad, thank God, hey, abortion ought to be ruled out. I do thank God we got a president that somewhat is saying, hey, do something about this abortion situation. The previous administration didn't say that. Amen. Y'all help me now. I'm praying it's going to get better. Hey, the previous administration, if they had their way, would have closed down the house of God. But thank God the door's open tonight. Amen. By the way, it was a heathen king. It was a heathen king that sent the Jews back to Jerusalem named Cyrus. God moved on a heathen man named Cyrus, who was a Persian, to send the nation of Israel back to Jerusalem. God can rule in the affairs of a lost man. God, the Bible said, the king's heart in the hand of the Lord, and he turned it whithersoever he will. Amen. I believe God was turning some hearts. Amen and amen. My point is simply this. Hezekiah's got it in his heart. Now that I'm on the throne, let's get the house of God right. Let's get the nation back to God. I'm talking about revival. Hezekiah's name means Jehovah's strength. It means whom the Lord has helped. The Lord has certainly helped Hezekiah in his life. Hey, he survived the savage father. His daddy could have killed him. But thank God he's living and now he's on the throne. Amen. Hey, he survived the invasion of Sennacherib. Amen. 180, God killed 185,000. Hey, amen. Hey, he survived a sickness unto death, and God gave him 15 years extra. God is ruling in the heart of a wicked king to overcome a wicked king to put a good king on the throne. I'm glad God's a sovereign God. That's a big word for a little preacher, but I'm glad this. God is still an all-powerful God. Amen. He's not so sovereign he won't save you against your will. Everybody's got a will. Amen. I will to be saved. He's not going to overcome that. God's sovereign, but he's not so sovereign he'll change. He'll overcome your will. He'll let you go to hell if you want to. Amen. My point is simply this. The Bible calls him, in 2 Kings 18, the Bible calls him one of the best kings. Amen. This man with the problems that he's got is called one of the best kings. There was none like him, the Bible said. Amen. He had a heart for God. His purpose was, lust don't be negligent. And you know what, church? You know what's killing our churches? Simply neglect. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3, here's what the writer said. Don't neglect so great a salvation. Now, we preach that evangelistically, but that's to the church and the Christian. He said, to us is saved, don't neglect the great salvation God's given. I passed a church. Anybody listening? You know what kills our churches? Simply neglectful, being neglectful. Negligent. He said, let's don't be negligent. In our text tonight, he said, let's don't be negligent concerning this thing about getting our nation back to God. God's chosen you, verse 11, to serve him, to stand for him. And he said to burn incense, which is supplication. He said, God's chosen us to stand. God's chosen us to serve. God's chosen us to supplicate. I want to preach on that thought tonight. Amen. Hey, God has chosen us. Let's don't be negligent. I'll tell you something, church. I preach a little bit. I don't know how I get to do that. Amen. I guess because of my accent. I get to preach a little bit around the southern part of the country. I get to preach a little bit. You know what I'm finding out in churches you go to now? You don't know what you got. You know, I hear that. It's just this the way it is. You walk in, and I'm not saying you do. I'm here to remind you. Don't take what you got for granted. Don't take it when the choir gets up for granted. Because that is not everywhere I go. Hey, when that choir got up tonight, I go to church at the church at the church. Hey, I'm saying, get the choir down. Let me preach. Tonight I wanted the choir to stay up, and I don't preach. Man, y'all help me now. I'm giving you everything I got. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm telling you, don't be negligent. Amen. Hey, when the choir gets up, get up on the edge of the pew and say, bring it on, choir. Bring it on, choir. Amen. Hey, I'm talking about revival. I'm talking about right. He's chosen us to stand. He's chosen us to serve. He's chosen us to supplication. Hey, let's don't be negligent. Amen. Don't neglect what God's given you. Amen. Hey, I won't deal long with this because this is not my message. Just let me hit this point. Hezekiah was a man of faith. He was a person of faith. The Bible said what? He didn't get that from his mama. He didn't get that from his daddy. His daddy was a heathen. He must have got it from his mama named Abijah. I looked up Abijah. Here's what it means. My father is Jehovah. Hey, he probably got right with God through his mama. You know how I got right with God? Through my mama. Hallelujah. I remember hearing, we sang that song tonight. Something about, I don't know what I'd do without the Lord. I remember as a young boy growing up, I didn't get saved until I was 27. But I remember walking in the kitchen many times, and mama would be washing dishes, looking out the window, talking to the birds. And she would put stuff out for the birds to eat, amen. My mom was a very thrifty person. She would put instead of putting real sugar in there, she put an imitation sugar in there. Them birds didn't know no different. Amen. They was on saccharin. And they, somebody here. But I remember my mama telling me this as a young boy growing up. She said, "Bubba, I don't know what I'd do without the Lord." And I would think about that. Well, mama, I don't have the Lord. I seem like I'm doing pretty good. But all my life, I heard my mama say, "I don't know what I'd do without the Lord, son." I remember going in the wee hours of the night. Hey, my mama, come to my room and pray. "God, thank you for getting him home." She'd pray through the door. "Thank you for getting him home. Amen." Hey, it was my mama. It was my mama that won me to Christ, her and my wife. Hey, this man had a mama. Said, "Jehovah is my father." It was a mama that got him to believe in God. Hey, young people, you got a good godly mama? Thank God for that tonight. Testify about that. Thank God for my mama. Amen. Hey, Hezekiah was a good son with a bad daddy. He ended up being a good daddy with a bad son. His son was Manasseh. My point is simply this. Hezekiah had faith. He believed in the God of glory. Amen. Notice this. His faith was praised. The Bible said there was none like him. Hey, I searched all that. I don't have time to deal with all that. Hey, he had his faults. He had his flaws. But God himself said there was nobody like Hezekiah. Amen and amen. What a compliment that God said about this king. There's none like him. What a compliment, amen. Amen. We ain't had one like Trump. He's not saved. I pray every day he'll get saved. I'm telling you what, he's done shook it up. Amen and amen. You don't put him in a corner. Hallelujah. Y'all help me now. I was preaching in the church one night. I was preaching this right at the first of the year. I was preaching this one night. When I got on that side, the church died on me. I said, "What?" I went to the preacher after the service. I saw the preacher. The preacher was, I looked at the preacher. I said, "Man, you need to help me." After the service, I went to the preacher. I said, "Preacher, I think I must have hit a bad note tonight." He said, "Oh, you did." I said, "Man, I never did get that stump dug up." He said, "Oh, you hit a bad note." I said, "Man, I can tell it." He said, "Man, I got some in here voted for Hillary." I said, "No wonder. That wasn't a stump. That was a log. Somebody help me." I spent 10 minutes trying to back up and dig it up. Amen. I never did get it up. Amen. Hey, right down to the end of the church, it was dead as a hammer. I said, "And you in this church, you got people that voted for Hillary. Got members voted for Hillary." I said, "Dear God, I tried to dig it out tonight. Somebody help me." Anybody listening? Hey, he was a man of faith. He was a man. Could I put down, notice his faultlessness? The Bible said he did right. Hey, he wasn't a man without problems. We know that. He had a son named Manasseh. But the Bible said about him in the 2 Kings, said he did right in the sight of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hey, his faithfulness. It don't matter how good you start. It's how you go in. Amen. I say that to say this. Hey, I got a lot of things I could say about that. But in his favor, he had favor with God. The Bible said the Lord was with him. Hallelujah. The Lord was with Hezekiah. Do you know this is one of just a few revivals that Israel had, Judah had? Do you know none of the northern 10 tribes, none of them ever, they never had revival up north? You know the only time they had revival was down south? Amen. And all those years that hundreds of years they got away from God and God let them go into bond, the northern kingdom never had revival. I mean, they left God. They left God, and Assyria took them over. And hey, the southern kingdom, they went into bondage also, I mean, sometimes later. But hey, they did have a few men come on the scene, had a revival. I believe we're living there, church. America needs revival. Our churches need revival. Can God, I ask the Christ, can God give us a revival? Preacher, I'll be honest with you, I got to hurry. I probably don't need to say all this. I'll be honest with you, I ain't just running up and down the road for my health. If I didn't believe we could have revival, I'd probably be home taking it easy. I did not come out here this week. Hey, think, can we have revival. Oh, but it ain't going to be a man. It's got to be God. My plans this week, here's what I plan to do. Read my Bible and pray and preach. I come up here to read my Bible and pray and preach. I didn't come up here to go sightseeing. I didn't come up here to go just do this and do that. I come up here to pray and preach. God, send revival. He can do that. He can do that. If we don't believe that, we'll go home tonight. Hallelujah. Hey, I noticed this about Hezekiah. He was a man not without problems, but he had a heart for God. Hey, none of us was without problems. We've all got problems, amen. But hey, God, he said, it's in my heart, Lord. It's in my heart, Lord. It's in my heart, Lord, to get our nation and the house of God back to God. Amen. I'm just simply saying, hey, he's chosen us to stand. He's chosen us to serve. He's chosen us to supplicate. Anybody listening? I see his faith, his faultlessness, his favor, his faithfulness. I want to preach on this just for a few minutes tonight. His fervency. His fervency. Look with me in verse number 7. I got to hurry now. I spent too long on that, really. Look with me in verse number 7. The Bible said also they had shut up the doors of the porch, put out the lamps, and had not burned incense. When Hezekiah came to the throne, the house of God was closed. There was no sacrifices being offered, and the lamp was out in the temple. Now, y'all know this. Hey, y'all Bible people, that was not to be like that in the house of God. Hey, I'm simply saying there was no access. The doors were closed. Anybody listening? Hey, there was no light. The Bible said they put out the lamp. And you, I think you can understand. You understand what I'm talking about. No access to the house of God. The doors were closed. No light, amen, in the house of God. Hey, no incense, no prayer. When he got to the house of God, all of that, the doors were closed. The lamp was out. There was no incense. When he inherited a mess of ruin when he got to the house of God. I'm telling you, preacher, Brother Donnie sat by me tonight, and we didn't get to talk about it. The choir got to sing. Preacher, I'm telling you, in the last 2 months, what has happened? Now, I didn't come to paint a bad picture tonight, but I'm telling you, everywhere I turn, people are throwing in the towel. People are giving up their standards. People who preach like we preach and believe what we preach are going the exact opposite way. What is happening in the house of God? You know what my wife told me riding down the road the other day? She said, I don't know what it does to you to hear so-and-so is going another direction, and sister so-and-so is going another direction, and that church is going another direction. She said, it puts it in my heart. I'm sticking with the old way. I said, talk to me, sister. You ain't a preacher, but preach to me. I said, I'm sticking with the old-time way. I'm going to stick with what I got in on it. I'm going to stick with what I've been doing for 30-something years. Yeah, brother. I don't plan to change, amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah, brother. I'm sticking with the King James Bible. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm sticking with old-time religion, old-time conviction, old-time going to church. Yeah. I don't plan to change. Man, I know the world is getting more liberal and liberal, but the churches are getting more liberal to try to reach them. No, I'm sticking with the old time way. Thank God there's still a few preaching won't hear. Preach, if your church is anything like mine, I'm telling you what, if we had a church for what we have in our community, we wouldn't have many. People are driving in 30 miles and 40 miles and 50 miles. I tell you why they're doing that. You can't find it out there. Anybody listening? I'm just going to stick with the old-time way. Hey, there was no light, no access, no incense. There was no appreciation. Look with me in verse number 3. The Bible said in verse number 3, in the first year of his reign, that he opened the doors of the house of God. Hey, there was no appreciation for the things of God. Chapter 28, verse 3, he burned his children in the fire. There was no appreciation for life. How many children was aborted today? They tell me this one day right here, abortion in America, over 4,000 children were aborted. Today, one day, over 1 million a year are aborted in America. If we did nothing else, that's enough for God to judge us. Amen. Hey, there was no appreciation for life, no appreciation for liberty. Look in our text in verse number 9 of chapter 29. The Bible says our fathers are fallen by the sword, our sons and our daughters and our wives, and captivity for this. I'm going to tell you what. Before I got saved, I had an addiction I'm ashamed of, but God delivered me. But I've never seen addiction like it is today. I mean, it is rampant. Addiction is rampant. What did the Bible say? He said, our fathers are fallen by the sword, our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity. I've never seen so many people in captivity, in bondage to things. Anybody listen? Hey, they had no appreciation for life, killing babies, no appreciation for liberty. Amen. All of that burden, Hezekiah. He saw the condition of his nation. He saw the condition of the house of God. He said, I got to make a covenant with God. Notice he said, I'm going to make a covenant now. He didn't make a contract. You can break a contract. He said, I got to make a covenant with God. I believe that. When was the last time? I know I'm preaching to a good church. When's the last time we've been to the hall and say, God, I want to make a covenant with you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to be more faithful. Amen. I wonder sometime in my own church, how many people really get serious for God? That God, this is what I'm going to do. I'm making a covenant with you. Amen and amen. That's what Hezekiah said. It's in my heart to make a covenant with God. Hallelujah. You know, we make covenants for everything except right things. I made a covenant with the real estate people for my house. Anybody listening? You want this house, sign on this line. So I made a covenant. You believe me? Believe me, every month they collect. Anybody listening? Until I paid it off. I don't think y'all getting that. He said, I want you to get serious about serving God. I want you to make a covenant relationship. That's what Hezekiah did. I'm making a covenant. His fervency was, hey, when he saw all that ruin, he said, this is in my heart. I'm making a covenant with God to get the nation back to God, to get the house of God back right. Then notice this. Notice, because of his fervency, notice the revival that came. Look at the invitation in verse number 3. In the first year of his reign, the first month, he opened the door of the house of God. Now, kid, I just go on record of saying this tonight. Thank God we got the doors open. You know, a lot of doors are closed tonight. Dr. Ed McAfee preached in our church. I guess this time goes so. I guess Brother Ed McAfee preached in our church 15 years ago. And that, at that time when he was preaching, he made a statement in our pulpit. And he said, over the last 10 years, 15,000 churches closed down in America. Well, it's worse than that now. But that was back 15 years ago. Here's what I'm simply saying. He said, just the fact that you got the doors open tonight, you better shout on that. Amen and amen. If y'all's church is anything like the church I pastor, I started the church 36 years ago. I remember one night showing up, wasn't but two people there. My wife was sick, my son was sick, my daughter was sick, everybody else was sick. I had two men sitting in the church on the back row. And both of them was visitors. And one had just killed his daddy. That's the honest to God truth. So what do you do in a situation like that? I said, I wanted to ask them to sing a special. I drove to work that morning. I drove 50 miles to work. I left there, drove 50 miles to the church I was starting. And two people showed up and both sat on the back row. And one of them had just killed his daddy. Got out of prison for killing his daddy. What you going to do with a sin? Sir, would you like to sing a special? How about, would you take up the offer? Anybody listening? Man, I didn't know what to do. You know what I did? I just got up and preached. Hallelujah. Got down to the end, give an invitation, no piano, no music. Just as I am. Y'all come on down now. Anybody listening? I got in my car, I headed home that night for 75 miles to drive home. It was as if the devil jumped up on my shoulder and said, you may as well quit. This church ain't going to make it. Now I'm going to tell you, now I was listening to him. I said, you know, you're right. But thank God I went back next Sunday, and I went back the next Sunday, and I kept going back for 36 years. Hey, the door's open tonight. Hey, just the fact that the doors is open is a miracle. But we got the doors open. We got the lights on. We got padded pews, carpet on the floor. We can have revival. Amen. Just to keep the doors open. Anybody listen? You know the church at Ephesus, God wrote and commended it? Ephesians chapter 1. church at Ephesus, he wrote to them commending. He said, I commend you. Do you know 30 years later, he wrote the book of Revelation? He said, if you don't get back to your first love, he said, I'll remove your candlestick. In 30 years, the church at Ephesus, by God Almighty, went from being commended to being condemned. 30 years. A great church. Read the book of Ephesians. A great church. In 30 years, God threatened to shut it down. You better be glad the doors is open tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, it began with an invitation. It continued with sanctification. Look in verse 5. He said, I said unto him, hear me, ye Levites, sanctify yourselves, sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers. Carry the filth and not the holy place. And I that word sanctify, it's in verse 5, 15, 17, 19, verse 34. He just came, sanctify the house of God. Amen. You know what when I got into the independent Baptist movement, that was preached on at least once a week. You'd go to camp meetings. You know, to go to camp. I'm telling you what, they'd skin your hide. But I'm telling you what our camp meetings are now. A little exhortation. Let's exhort the brethren. Dear God, we're so fat now, we're rolling around. Somebody help me. Somebody needs to share the sheep. Amen. But I'm telling you, go to camp meeting. I'm telling you, for the first 3 nights, I mean, it was Katie barred the door. Then on Thursday night, break out because everybody got their sin under the blood. Hey, he said, sanctify the house of God. Get the house of God clean. Amen. Why is that not true? Church, we're living in a world. Your pastor's preached this so much. You know what the church is today? The church used to be here, and the world used to be here, and now the church is where the world used to be. The world's getting worse and worse. The church is not staying separate. It's just following the world. We're doing things in the house of God now you would not have done years ago. He said, sanctify. God ain't changed. Amen. Drinking and cussing and smoking and adultery and all that's still wrong. Nakedness is still wrong. Yeah, God. You know what I told my church? I hammered on it last night and I didn't even get to preach. You know what I told my church? I said, I don't tell you what. This, if I didn't have to deal with nakedness and dress, I'm telling you what, if you don't deal with that, you probably could have a big church. There's not many churches that's getting bigger dealing with them issues. Anybody listen? The singing y'all got and the spirit y'all got, drop all them issues about dealing with sin, and man, y'all be busting out the front door. But God said, I ain't necessarily looking for a crowd. I'm trying to build a church. Amen and amen. He said, sanctify the house of God. Why not? We got a holy Bible. We got a Holy Spirit. We're going to a holy city. He's a holy child. The angels are saying, holy, holy, holy. Whatever happened to holiness? He said, sanctify the house of God. Oh, y'all kill a white man up here. We're to be, notice this, look in verse 16. I like this. And the priest went into the inner part of the house of God and cleansed it. In the verse 17, and they began on the first day of the month to sanctify it. I'll tell you where it starts now. Hey, as hard as I am on sin, I'll tell you where it starts. It starts on the inner part of the house of God. It starts inward. Sanctification don't start outwardly. Sanctification starts inwardly. God gets you clean on the inside and it affects the outside. And if you got it reversed and you clean up the outside without cleaning up the inside, you'll be a Pharisee. I ain't got a Pharisee or carbone in my body. I don't believe you ought to smoke, drink, cuss, run with those that do. I'm telling you what, but I do believe this. It has to start inwardly. Amen and amen. I've seen some of those that's got it on the outward, no habit on the inward. They mean as junkyard dogs. I've heard them preach on drinking, make me want to go drink. Somebody help me. I've heard them preach on smoking, make me want to get a cigar that long. Somebody help me. Hey, sanctification got to start inward. Dear Lord. My point is simply this. He said, sanctify the house of God. Thank God for a church that you can come. I don't have to bow my head when the choir went up tonight. Preacher, I'm telling you, preacher, I'm preaching in churches today, independent Baptist churches. You would not believe. I have to bow my head before the choir goes up. I was preaching in a church a couple of years ago, and the preacher came to me for church. He said, I got a visiting choir coming tonight, preacher. I said, glory to God. I love the choir singing. And then they walked in, and I had a message about like this. And they walked in. I said, oh, my Lord, have mercy. I'm in trouble. Man, I'm not exaggerating. When the choir walked up, it looked like a burlesque show. And I looked at my message. And I said, God, he said, you preach it. This is how the Holy Spirit dealt me. He said, you preach it. And I had some things down there. Don't never do that, preachers. Don't never write it down. Just say the Spirit will lead me. I ain't trying to mix all that. And I had them wrote down, nakedness. And I had all that wrote down. Hit it. I hit it the last time. And the Holy Ghost said, you hit it last time. What you gonna do tonight, boy? I said, God, if you'll help me, I'm going to do it again tonight. And I just said, put your doors up! Yeah, God, they was going out side doors, back doors. Yeah. Nobody was coming out my door. Yeah. Yeah, I ain't been back. Matter of fact, the pastor and his wife come to pick me up the next night. His wife was probably 70, and she dressed like that. In other words, preach your heart out, boy. You ain't changing me. Are you listening to me? He said, sanctify the house of God. I'm not talking about being a Pharisee. I am saying God wants his people to live right. He wants us to be holy. We lost that. Preacher, we've lost that today. I feel sorry for the younger preachers. I don't feel sorry for you, but I'm telling you, to maintain this standard, it keeps getting worse. You're going to have some grit. Amen and amen. Hey, I'm just telling you, I have to preach on it. I told my church last night, I said, some of you girls, and thank God, I mean, our church is a pretty clean church. I think it is, preach. I preach around a little bit. I said, some of you girls, get off the borderline. I said, you want to wear it right there? I said, hey, you want to stay on the borderline? Get off the borderline. Go all the way with God. Amen. Dear God, I'm preaching everything I know on the first night. Yeah, we take a recess tomorrow night. He said, invitation, sanctification, restoration. I got to hurry. I give you this, and we're through. Look at verse 18. He said, they went into Hezekiah the king, said, we've cleansed all the house of God, the altars of burnt offering, all the vessels there, the showbread with all the vessels there, more of all the vessels which King Ahaz and his reign did cast away in the transgression, have we prepared, sanctified. Behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. In other words, here's what he said. King, we've restored that which we used to have. We brought back to the house of God what it used to be. Could I say that? Could I say tonight, that's what we need. Here's where we are today in 2017. We're trying to get back what we used to have. I want to get back to the old time way. Amen and amen. The old time singing. The old time. You know what Brother Donnie reached over there and told me? And I said, amen. He said, preacher, listen to me now, preacher. I said, what? He said, you don't hear much of that kind of singing no more. Brother Sexton, you don't hear much of that kind of singing no more. Are you listening? Church, do you know what? And I ain't saying like y'all don't go nowhere. Some of y'all go more than I do. I'm just saying, I preach in a lot of church. You don't hear much of that kind of singing no more. I got up in a big church. Can you believe I was preaching in a big church? I was preaching in a big church, and they had a family there that sang like that, the old time way, the old time camp meet. And I don't know much about music except liking it. I like it. And I got up to the pulpit, and I said, you know what I want to say tonight before I preach? I said, I don't know a C from a D, but I do know this, when I hear it and I like it. I said, what that family just sang, that's old time camp meeting singing. I said, we don't have much of that no more. And that family come up to me afterwards. She said, preacher, you hit it right there on the nail right on the head tonight. She said, we're about the only ones in our area to do that anymore. Hey, I think we need to bring back what we used to have. Thank God. Y'all better thank God. Somebody needs to shout. He said, we got to bring it back. Amen. Let's get back old time singing, old time preaching, old time going to church. Yeah. Let's restore what we used to have. I was preaching. You ain't got a clock. I was out knocking on doors. I was out knocking on doors in the little town I'm in. We're in a little small town, and I was out knocking on doors. And I went down in the rough section, a rough section of St. Stephen, and the whole town's rough. But I went down in the rougher part of the rough part, amen. And I knocked on the door, and a man come, and he had liquor all over him. And I was talking to him at the door, and I said, sir, I was just out visiting for the Lord, and I want to invite you to church. And I said, you in town? He said, yeah, I moved here not long ago. He's living in an old camper, I said, where are you from? He said, Greenville. I said, you're from Greenville? I said, I preached in Greenville before. He said, really? I said, yeah, you probably wouldn't know where this is. But over there on a White Horse Road, there's a big old church over there, Tabernacle. There's a big old church over there in the Forks. He said, Tabernacle Baptist Church. I said, you know where Tabernacle Baptist Church is? He said, yeah. I said, sir, I helped revival. I preached at that church. He said, you talking about Dr. Seidler? I said, you know Dr. Seidler? He said, do I know Dr. Seidler? He said, well, sure I know Dr. Seidler. I said, you living in St. Stephen, and you know you've been to Tabernacle Baptist Church and heard Dr. Seidler preach? He said, yeah. He said, could I tell you a story? I said, yeah. He said, my aunt run the liquor store. And Tabernacle Baptist Church and members come by and witness to my aunt. And my aunt got gloriously saved. I said, your aunt got saved. What about the liquor store? He said, she got rid of the liquor store and joined Tabernacle Baptist Church and sang in the choir and becomes one of the best members that they ever had. I said, glory! I went by again yesterday. I said, Mr. Don, would you come back to church and visit with us one more time? He come to church. I said, would you come back and visit? He was in church last night, sitting on the pew, amen. I said, you know what? He said, my aunt become the greatest Christian I ever knew, preacher. She said, she won many of our family to God. You know what I said, Brother Donnie? I told my wife, I said, when that man comes, if he gets saved, it'll be the prayers of his dear old aunt that died praying for him to be saved. Woo! Y'all forgive me! Woo! In St. Stephen, South Carolina, God moved him there for us to visit. He got out the door last night. I shook his hand. I said, Mr. Don, you coming? He said, I'm coming back, preacher. I'm coming back. I don't know how I got on. Restoring what we lost. Had them old saints of God used to preach and win souls to God and pray a man. Let's get back to the old time way. Hallelujah. Man, I preach myself under conviction. I feel like going to the altar. Oh, God, bring it back. Lord, bring it back. Hey, there was a reconciliation. I can't preach the rest of this. I got too much left. There's a reconciliation. Look in verse 21. And they brought seven bullocks, seven rams, seven goats to the sanctuary. Verse 22. Bible said, and they killed the bullocks. Priests received the blood. A little bit later, they sprinkled the blood. Verse 24, the priest killed, made reconciliation with the blood on the altar. He said, what? We got to have reconciliation. We've been away from God. We got to get the blood. See, the house of God had been closed. They got everything back in the house of God. They got the vessels back in the house. They got the doors open. They got the lamps. They got everything back. They said, now we got to get the blood back on the altar. Hallelujah. You know how we're going to have revival? Plead the blood. Right here at this old altar. He said they made reconciliation with the blood on the altar. I think y'all see the type of, we got an altar right here. Oh, we need to come down and get on the altar and say, oh God, I've sinned, I've failed, I've come short, I plead the blood. Amen. That's how we're going to get right with God. It was the blood that saves you. It's the blood that keeps you clean. We confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen and amen. I'm just simply saying tonight, there was a ruin when he inherited it. There was revival. Notice the result. Inspiration. And I don't have time to deal with that, but look in verse 27. Hezekiah commanded the officers to offer the burnt offerings on the altar. And when the burnt offerings began, the song of the Lord began. The Bible said, and all the congregation, verse 28, worshiped, the singers sang, the trumpet sounded, and this continued until the burnt offering was finished. Look in verse 30. Moreover, Hezekiah, the king of the prince, commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. And they sang praise with gladness and bowed their heads in worship. It's done broke out now, friend. They're worshiping God. I jotted this down. And I'll quit. The Bible said Hezekiah commanded them to sing. I marked that in my Bible. That just got me. The Bible said in verse 20, and Hezekiah commanded them the burnt offering. And the Bible said, and when they offered it, the song of the Lord began. Look at verse 30. And Hezekiah and the king commanded them, the Levites, to sing. Could I put it this way? As busy as that man was, he still had the music on his mind. Hezekiah the king, with all he had going on, he said, listen to me now. Listen to me, choir. With all that king had going on, here's what he said. He said, get the singers. I'm commanding the singers to sing. He didn't have a volunteer choir. He said, you get them, the Levites, to sing. Y'all stay with me now. He said, get the Levites to sing. In other words, he said, if you go sing, you got to live right. He was, with all he's got going on, he was still in charge of the music. He said, I don't want nobody singing but the Levites. Y'all, I keep saying, y'all got to get this now. He said, don't you just go out there and dilly-dally around the world and walk up in the choir. He said, I want you to have God on you like the preacher's got to have God on him. I want you to sing with God on you. Somebody help me. Yeah, man, that just jumped out and grabbed me. What are you trying to say? Well, notice this. The Bible said they sang with the burnt offering. I ain't got time to deal with all that just to say this. I just want to say this about that. Hey, there was singing that they had. They had the right makers of the music. The Levites played and sang. Amen. Hey, they had the right moment. Hey, the Bible, they had Calvary in their hearts. In verse 27, 28, they were offering sacrifices. Get this now. They sang doctrinal songs. They said, sing the songs that David wrote and Asaph the seer wrote. We're not singing, I'm coming up on the rough side. Oh, we ain't singing that. We're going to sing scriptural songs. We're going to sing songs about Calvary, songs about the blood. Anybody listen? And he said, I want y'all to have God on you like the preacher has got God on him. Woo! Y'all going home. I just preach to myself now. Let me tell you, I'm not telling Ridgeview one thing y'all don't know. I'm just telling you, I believe in preacher. I am a preacher. But I'm telling you, I've seen God invade our church just on the music. I've seen sinners get saved. Now, I'm talking about it. They've heard the gospel. They've been presented with the gospel. I've seen before we ever get to the preaching, after they've been preached to, I've seen them get saved on the choir singing. I've seen them get saved on the special music. God is in the music! When you walk up in that choir, you better say this, oh, I got to give it my best. Oh, I got to live right. I got to be clean. God's going to use this music tonight to touch somebody's heart. Now, y'all don't write me off when I say this now, because some have. I got saved at a singing. God was in it. Hello. I don't promote that. I don't think you ought to do that, but I did. Please listen to what I'm saying. He said, I'm concerned about the music. Get the music right. And could I testify to this tonight? We got it right. Could I tell y'all all this tonight? We got the doors open. We got the lights on. Hello. Hey, we're trying to restore the old time way. Amen. We got the blood on the altar. Hey, we got the singers right. Why ain't we having revival? We are candidate for revival. Yeah. You say, well, preacher, you got to have a big crowd to have revival. No, don't start with a big crowd. It starts with a little crowd, and then the crowd gets big. Amen. Hey, I'm giving everything I got now, preacher. The Bible said, hey, well, the Bible said on the book of Ephesians, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. He said, hey, he said, if you want to be full of the Holy Ghost, if you are full of the Holy Ghost, you'll speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Amen. Amen. You know what evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost says? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs. Singing and making melody to your heart to the Lord. But didn't the Bible say in Psalms 85, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Hey, an outcome of revival is rejoicing and the joy of God in our heart. Amen. Hey, he said sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. I don't have time to deal with that tonight. Amen. Psalms come out in the Bible. Hymns talk about him. Spiritual songs talk about what he did for you. Amen and amen. Brother Roloff, I used to hear Brother Roloff say this. He said, I go to my prayer closet, sometimes I can't pray, I start singing. I heard him say that numbers of times. I went out to Texas. I've been in the church. I heard him say numbers of times. He said, I'll go to my prayer closet sometime and I can't get the motor won't kick in to start praying. He said, I just get up, start walking around saying, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, beautiful. He said, I sing psalms. Then he said, I sing hymns. Oh, worship the King, oh, glorious above, oh, gratefully sing his power and his love, our shield and defender, the ancient. He sings hymns. You know what hymns do? Talk about him. He said, I sing spiritual songs. I am so glad God saves old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed how he sets them free. You know what spiritual songs? Spiritual songs talk about what he's done for you. He said, sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. I'm telling you, Hezekiah talked to the choir. Said, get the music right. We need God on the music. Hey, church, we have a revival. We got everything back in order. We got the King James. Somebody help me. We ought to have revival this week. We ought to have nothing less than revival. We got all the ingredients that they were trying to bring back. We got them here tonight at Ridgeview. We got them. We ought to have revival this week. Amen. I believe they shouted. I believe there was shouting going on. I ought to be able to find that somewhere in there. Y'all help me look for that tomorrow. What's the end of the... Hey, Bible said in verse 30. Bible said in verse 30, they sang praise with gladness and bowed their heads. They had gladness and godliness in the house of God. I'm through. I ain't through, but I'm through. 2 Chronicles 5:12. That talks about when Solomon, when the Spirit of God came, and they couldn't minister in the tabernacle in the temple. Do you know what I read in studying this? They said, he said, we have not, over there a little bit later in the book of 2 Chronicles, and I'm hurrying, over there a little bit later, he said, we have not had a meeting like this. Here's what Hezekiah said. We have not had a meeting like this since the days of Solomon. I looked that up, it's about 300 years. He said, we have not had a meeting like this in the house of God in 300 years. And the Bible said that it happened suddenly. Oh, I got to look at that, preacher. Preacher, I'm trying to hurry and get out of the way. I don't want to tell you. Hey, over there in 2 Chronicles, he said in verse number, look in verse number 36 of 29, and I promise you I'm through. And Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. They just went to the house of God after they got all that back we talked about, and the vessels and the burnt offerings and the blood on the altar, and they went to the house of God, and the Bible said, God broke in on the meat. He said it was done suddenly. You know, wouldn't it be wonderful if we walk in here tomorrow night and God just show up? God just show up. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we walk in here next Sunday and all of a sudden God just show up? And y'all have had them services. I know y'all had them services. But hey, and I know every service can't be like that. But hey, God show up just suddenly, God. Well, we're going to church this morning, family. Let's get together, family. Oh, God bless the preacher today, Lord. Lord, my family needs God. My family needs to hear from God. Lord, our little family now, we're praying. God, we're going to church today. Please meet with us, God. Please help the preacher and the Sunday school and the singers. Oh, God, touch them and use them, God, today. Let us go to church and have church. Let my children see the old time way. And walk in church and God show up. Y'all listening? I've been out there where I am 36 years. Y'all in the woods, we in the woods. I've been out there 36 years. I think it was last year this time. It was last year sometime. We went to church one Sunday morning. And I'm only saying this because y'all have done it. But I've been there 36 years. And we went to church one Sunday morning. We started at 10:30. And God just said, that poor little fellow has been out here 36 years in these woods. I think I'm just going to visit him one time. And I'm telling you, I'm telling you, Brother Donnie, God sat down in our church. And I'm not bragging on, I'm almost scared to tell that. God sat down in our church. We started at 10:30 and we got out at 3 o'clock. And I was trying to get them out. I was trying to get them out. And every time, they wouldn't leave. The visitors didn't even leave. And I think what God said, that poor little fellow right there, he's been out here 36 years in these woods. I'm going to pay him one visit before he dies. And God sat down in our church for about five hours. And I'd get up and I said, all right, we got to go now. I mean, done the chicken's cold and the ham's done turned to grease. We got to go. And somebody jumped up. Well, before we go, I got one time. I love her. God, it busts loose again. And then I say, all right, now we got to go. And somebody goes, oh, preacher, I want to help brother so-and-so. I ain't got much money, but I want to help brother so-and-so because I know one of the two of his tithes about, and I want to. And God, here it goes again. You don't work them up, preacher. God just said, I'm going to visit you. It happened suddenly. You know all I can say? I hope he does it again. Because once you ever had it, once that ever happens, you want it to happen every Sunday. But I'm going to tell you what, you don't want to go along with it. Don't happen again. God, do it. Here's what it tells me. He's still doing it. Hey, y'all probably had four or five of them services, and we had one. I'm still excited over the one. He did it suddenly. We got more, but that's enough. Let's stand together. Father, Lord, I've hollered and screamed tonight and skipped all over the Bible. But Lord, I tried to do what you told me. We need revival. We need revival. We need a moving of God. We don't need something worked up. We need something sent down. God, do that this week. Lord, this here at Ridgeview, I pray to God. Lord, anything done, we're going to bow in worthy heads. Who am I? King David said about Saul being put in the family of what I consider a heathen king. He was so honored that Saul would allow him to be in the family. God, we're in the family of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, who am I that you would allow me to be in this place? Help us tonight, I pray. Touch our hearts, work in our lives. Send revival. God, I'll be the first one to admit I need revival. Do that for me, Lord. My own preaching put me under conviction tonight. I don't want to be a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Preach to others and be a castaway. Help me. I need revival. I want to pray, read my Bible, and study this week. Help me to do that. Thank you for this godly pastor and this godly church. Help us to have revival. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Invitations being played. God speaking hearts tonight. Send revival, God. Send revival. Get some help. The altar's open if you need to come tonight. Amen. You come while we play. Yes, yes, yes.